We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking with our NBAF officials. You've been hearing from Dr. Luis Rodriguez, research leader from the Foreign Animal Disease Research Unit. He continues along with us here, but we're also going to talk with Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF coordinator for USDA APHIS, and Katie Pulaski, the NBAF communications director. And we'll start with Dr. Burton. When you had your veterinary practice or even during your time at K-State, did you see any instances where this type of research has made a difference in American agriculture?
Most definitely, Brandon. Actually, when I was in private practice, I counted on the diagnostics and training and research provided through USDA's National Veterinary Services Laboratory System. And this is a system that Plum Island is currently a part of and NBAF will be a part of in the future. I just didn't realize at that time how much on a regular basis that I was dependent on them. Many of the transboundary animal diseases studied at Plum Island, they show very similar clinical signs to domestic diseases that livestock veterinarians see on a routine basis. And the only way that they can really be differentiated for sure is through diagnostic tests. So the Foreign Animal Disease Diagnostic Laboratory, or FADL, that will be transferring to NBAF is the confirmatory testing laboratory for foot and mouth disease. And all of the suspect samples will be routed to them for testing. FADL is also an international reference laboratory for the World Organization for Animal Health and the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. So if I had an animal with suspect lesions of a foreign animal disease, my first step would be to contact our area, state, or federal veterinarian who was a trained foreign animal disease diagnostician, or FADD. These veterinarians are trained through an intensive course held at Plum Island currently, and this will also be transferring to NBAF. And they're taught to recognize foreign animal diseases, take samples that allow the laboratories to do the confirmatory testing or a negative test on a virus. And then if necessary, these diagnosticians can begin the first step in an animal disease response. And then also the critical research that teams like Dr. Rodriguez has visited about in the first segment, they provide critical basic research for vaccine technology and diagnostic platform development on existing and potential future emerging diseases. So specifically, probably the best example I could give you is the West Nile virus outbreak in Kansas in the early 2000s. That was my closest contact with foreign animal disease problem. This was a foreign animal disease that was first identified in the New York area and then worked its way west across the U.S. and had a really great impact on horses and humans in the first few years. It really was an eye-opener for me on how foreign animal disease could have such an impact on the community I was in, on animal and human health. I treated a lot of horses that first few years for the virus, but during that time, many of my clients were also trying to treat their horses and at the same time were suffering from the disease themselves, as West Nile is a zoonotic disease also. So kind of had some personal experience with there and really opened my eyes to the importance of all of this research and what NBAF will bring.
It's interesting. You know, it a lot of parallels here to the COVID-19 pandemic, because I think the key difference is, though, you know, we can stop and try to social distance and do all that kind of stuff to try to prevent the spread. But it's a lot harder with foreign animal diseases because you just don't know when and where this is all taking place. It seems to spread like wildfire.
That's exactly right. You know, the transportation of animals around the nation on a daily basis is at such a high level that if it's animal to animal spread, the potential for like a wildfire is you know, pretty great. Fortunately, with West Nile, there was a mosquito vector, so that, you know, there was ways that you could break that chain.
Yeah, it's an incredible research that's going on. Katie, how does NBAF plan to share all this promising research with the public going forward?
Great question, Brandon. So, you know, NBAF is really unique within the U.S. Department of Agriculture because we do have our own communications team. So currently the scientists at Plum Island, like Dr. Rodriguez and his team, so they rely on the amazing communications teams at their agencies, such as the Agricultural Research Service and Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, to help them communicate their research and achievements. I know Dr. Rodriguez mentioned the ARS website that's a part of USDA has a lot of that great research communicated out there. So while we will work really closely with the communications and public affairs teams at ARS and APHIS, we're really lucky that we'll have direct access to the scientists and researchers at MBAF so that we can communicate about all the amazing work they're doing through media releases, social media, and even outreach to the public. You know, we're also really excited about the opportunities that the Biologics Development Module will present in working with industry. You know, in fact, we will even have another member of our communications team, one that we haven't hired yet, that will work very closely with the BDM director on managing relationships with industry and helping us to get our research on vaccines and countermeasures to that next step so it can be commercially available.
All right. We'll be looking forward to that. It's exciting times here, and I think the public appreciates being able to have access to that. With any productive research program, hiring the right people for the job is important. I'll pose this question to both Katie and Ken. What is NBAF doing to attract high-quality researchers?
I'll start out, Brandon, and then Katie can jump in and fill in maybe what I missed. But our human resource and communications teams are just doing a great job providing information on why a career with NBAF should be highly considered by researchers. NBAF offers, you know, really the unique capability to be part of a cutting-edge research program within a facility that's one of its kind. Actually, there's only four other facilities in the world that are able to support the same type of research that will be present at NBAF, and NBAF will be number five. So this is especially important as one of our current openings is for a research leader for zoonotic and emerging diseases research unit, or ZEDRU. This position will help solve current and emerging pathogens and livestock at the highest level of containment, or a biosafety level four. So NBAF's offering competitive salary, you know, for these positions and federal benefits, but we're also working really close with community members to try and be able to show why Manhattan and the Flint Hills region is a really attractive area for these research leaders to come in and bring their families and make NBAF a career, but also make the Midwest a home.
All right. Katie, do you want to?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. So adding a little bit on to what Dr. Burton said. So one of the things that we've been doing, he mentioned the community. So we're working really hard right now to address some questions that folks may have about moving to this area. One example, every Thursday, we host a lunch and learn session with our colleagues from the Plum Island Animal Disease Center. And we just had some leaders from the Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce give a presentation last Thursday about the city and surrounding area, speaking, you know, to things like housing and education and entertainment and culture. And we certainly welcome feedback from the community as well as what they see are benefits to living and working in the greater Manhattan area. We're really thrilled with how many people in the community are interested in helping us both provide information and also welcome our new employees to the area. One other thing I'll mention, Brandon, is that we do give regular presentations about NBAF to community groups as well, so they have a better idea about our timeline and science programs and career opportunities. For example, we recently presented to members of the Flint Hills Realtors Association because they're certainly interested in knowing who might be coming to town. And then we also, as Dr. Burton had sort of mentioned, regularly post information about NBAF's mission and job opportunities on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts, which are open to the public. Really excited about the following we've gained on LinkedIn. We actually have over 500 followers, and we just created our accounts in June. So really happy about using those avenues to get information out so we can really get those high-quality researchers that we need.
All right, very good. Well, Dr. Rodriguez, thanks for coming on. And how soon will you be out here in Manhattan?
Not soon enough. There's a lot of work we need to do there, and going to be busy both here in New York and in Manhattan for a couple of years. So I hope to be there as soon as pandemic travel restrictions are lifted and get back there and spend some quality time in beautiful Manhattan. So looking forward to it.
Well, we'll look forward to having you here. Maybe we can stop by, have a Vista Burger or something in Manhattan, and get to know you a little bit better.
Anytime.
All right. Well, Dr. Rodriguez, Dr. Burton, Katie, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much, as always, Brandon. We sure appreciate it.